Want to try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, will this send me spiraling out of my routine? Time to consult the online experts.
Hi, Felicia here with 1 million followers. That bite will destroy your metabolism.
Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning. Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again? Oh, the kids would really love this.
Insulin sensitivity.
Always
Stop it.
They don't know your body, only you do. Signos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at signos.com. That's SIGNOS.com with code SPARK. Signos.
Save big money on your bathroom update at Menards. Transform your bathroom with a stunning new vanity from Magic Woods. With over 100 options to choose from, our vanities combine contemporary style with durable materials. Find the ideal piece to create the bathroom you've always wanted. From stylish and elegant to simple and modern. Save big money on Magic Woods vanities at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all our great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
It's Pat Fitzmaurice from Fantasy Pros. For week 3, we're doing the ranks. We got all the questions, and we are setting the stage. Mr. Pat Fitzmaurice, what is up, my friend?
Mr. Welch, so good to see you and Mr. Bogman. Haven't talked to the two of you in a few weeks, and I've missed you. So it's great to be back.
Yeah, it is crazy. I actually forgot about that. You were on like not that long ago, and then you guys are not getting to do your Dynasty pod right now, which is sad.
I know. We're on a hiatus, man. I missed my weekly check-ins with Bogman.
I know. That was Tuesday. If something felt off but right today, you know, because I am doing a show with Pat, but it's much earlier than we would normally go, and we don't have a guest. You're the guest this time, so... It feels right, but something feels off. It's one of those. I know there's a word for it, but I don't know what the word for it is. So
yeah, wrong.
Wrong. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Thank you, Welsh. He's so eloquent.
It is.
With his word choices. Thank you.
Yeah. Exactly.
Wordsmith. Wordmanship. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Exactly.
However you want to say it. So.
Yeah. Analogy that I can follow.
He's
apart
great
with
words, folks. The Welsh.
You can follow Pat on Twitter at Fitz_FF. And of course, you can check out all the stuff over on Fantasy Pros. All the ranks have been fantastic. The pods have been fantastic. And getting to talk with Pat overall is fantastic. And the first 2 weeks have been just relatively nutty. There's actually a million questions I want to get to, but we're not going to, just to get your take on everything. Hopefully we'll cover them in the ranks, as we're going to do just like we did last week. We're going to go through some of the surprise and sleepers at each position. It's going to create some full-on conversation as we go. But maybe one thing to hit on is coming off of that weird... By the way, did we ever find out the reason? Why did they do 2 Monday night football games? I still don't... I'm not grasping the 2 Monday nights in week 2 of all.
I don't get it either. I'm still not sure.
Pat, do you know?
No, they did that. They always did it for the opener. And when they didn't do that this year, I figured they had just scrapped that idea. Don't remember seeing that on the schedule, and all of a sudden I was taken aback by that. So I'm not sure why they did it. It's kind of annoying. You know, I'd like to watch
to
these...
ruin my betting pros stages.
Let us watch the standalone games in peace on Mondays. You know, like
That's
I don't want
right.
to track 2 games.
Yeah. Or just make it. Well, they did multiple things wrong. It's like make it a regular occurrence, but also don't intertwine them. Like they started the other game at like 8 minutes into the second quarter.
Yeah.
What's going on? I mean, I kind of like not having to pay attention to halftime, but then once, you know, the Bills started back up, it's like, I don't know what to do. I mean, I had bet on the Bills. So
well, the Bills did us a favor
there.
by just smashing the brains out of the Titans. So, you know, didn't have to pay attention to that game. But then I wanted to watch that game because Malik got put in. So I was like, oh, now I don't know what to do. Do I want the sound on Malik's debut, or do I want this game that still matters? But I ended up watching the Philly game instead.
One of the things that came out of that, though, we can talk about is there were four games. Probably the most concerning ended up being like what the Titans look like and have looked like overall. The Titans are starting to be very reminiscent of the Colts. And it's like you have an incredible one of the best players in the sport on your side. You've got some weapons, but you can't move the ball and you can't do anything. Are you concerned overall with what the Titans are, what is going on with the Titans? They benched Tannehill, Malik Willis came in there. Derrick Henry can't really seem to like fully get his legs going. The receiving core is kind of a mess, though. I would say I'm feeling a little bit more optimistic about Treylon Burks after this because they were targeting him very often early on in the game, and they want to get him going, which I think is a positive in the future. But the problem is this offense just seems kind of broken, and I feel like that's the biggest takeaway from the Monday Night Football games. Pat, are you worried about Titans players in general?
Yeah, a little bit, Welsh. I mean, I don't think their offensive line is as good as it used to be. So that's kind of a problem when you're trying to run that power offense and work play action off the power running game. So if the power running game isn't working, I mean, that kind of leaves you without a good plan of attack. I just don't know if they're going to be able to run the same sort of style they worked before. And you kind of wonder, like, how long they would wait. They're 0-2 now. In a really tough conference, like how long before Malik gets a shot? Like Tannehill's kind of an older quarterback, and you know he's never been like he's always been functional. He does a good job of running that play action game. He's been the right guy for this offense, but you know if they can't play that way anymore and do it successfully, maybe it's going to be Malik sooner rather than later. I don't know.
Does that worry you about Derrick Henry, maybe overall? I mean, maybe it wouldn't, because if he's there, they're going to lean more on the running game. But it just doesn't seem like the Titans can't fool anybody. And as great as a player that you can have back there, like there's going to be a point where it's like, okay, yes, he can get 80 yards after 24 carries or something like that, but that's just not going to do it. Are you worried about, I mean, Robert Woods has been kind of dismal a little bit. He got going in this game. Treylon Burks getting targets, but does Willis coming in lower the value or potential, you know, game changing plan of being able to move the ball, kind of like what was assumed to the 49ers that Trey Lance was going to give them an extra ability to kind of almost play like, you know, read options and triple everything like that. Do you think that opens up the offense, and does it affect Henry positively or negatively?
Yeah, that's a good question, because would they be able to do they have a separate Malik Willis offense ready to go? Something tells me they probably were not doing that in.
They might be working on it this week.
They might be working on something
at
like
least
that,
packages.
But, yeah. So I am worried about Henry, and he was kind of a stay away for me this year just because I figured that they might have some issues with that offensive line. And you've got, you know, no more A.J. Brown. And I'm excited about Treylon Burks, too. And there was actually, like, a reception he had on a crosser yesterday where I didn't see the number right away. But, like, he looked really fast after he caught that ball. I was like, who is that?
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow and Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten. Rakuten.com.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion. It's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Burks. He looked really fleet of foot, and that was good to see.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Where are we gonna go?
Someplace warm. A place where the beer flows like wine. Where beautiful women instinctively flock like the salmon of Capistrano. I'm talking about a little place called
In This League.
People have been wondering about the speed ever since the combine, but without A.J. Brown around to sort of keep defenses honest, like, are they going to be able to stack the box? You know, you've got not a lot of speed, even if Burks is maybe a little faster than we think. Not a lot of speed at the wide receiver position. It's going to be hard to keep defenses honest, hard to keep them from jamming the box with extra guys to stop Henry, and you've got an offensive line that's maybe not as good as it was. So it's not a great recipe for Derrick Henry.
Who are you more worried about, the Titans or the Colts?
I think the Titans. I still like the Colts offensive line a lot. That was just... they do have a problem in that they have only one good pass catcher. Like that's a problem. I mean, it's one more than my Green Bay
passer.
Yeah, one more good pass catcher than my Green Bay Packers have. But when Pittman is out, that is an issue for them for sure. And but all in all, I mean, I think they're going to be able to move the ball with Jonathan Taylor, a really good offensive line. A capable quarterback who can find the open man.
Better defense, so, too.
Yeah. So they didn't block well this past game. It's been kind of a rough start for the Colts, but I think they'll be okay.
Yeah, it's interesting to see a lot of these offenses struggle early. And, you know, Welsh and I have talked a lot about time of possession. Chicago, pathetic with it. Pittsburgh, pathetic with it. Denver hasn't been as bad with time of possession, but they still don't look good on offense with Russell yet. New Orleans has had issues, and now we hear that, you know, Jameis has four fractured vertebrae and all this stuff, and he's playing through it in extreme pain. Let's throw Indy in there too. All of these offenses have issues here, Pat. Chicago, Pittsburgh, Indy, Denver, Carolina, New Orleans. Who are the players that you're actually worried about on these offenses? And do you have any real big concerns? Like, is Mooney a big concern? Or
let's start team
Deontay?
By team then. Instead of let's go like Chicago. Who are the concerns in Chicago? And everybody is an applicable answer.
Yeah, I liked Mooney and Kmet this season. I mean, I've got Kmet in one league where it just, you know, I lost a game by 1 point yesterday. And, with Kmet getting zero, like, I did not realize that Luke Getsy is opposed to the forward pass. Like I didn't realize that they've got 28 dropbacks in two games. And like, it's not like the game script has been favorable the whole way. I
mean, might as well just go get the Air Force head coach in there. So
exactly.
Run
man.
A triple option.
They were down by double digits, like early in that Packers game, and they still didn't want to throw. So I'm worried about both of those guys. Absolutely.
So what about Pittsburgh?
Najee. I mean, like we've taught Boggs, this was a constant source of discussion for us on the Dynasty podcast, how they, solve their glaring offensive line problem by drafting an overaged one-year wonder college quarterback in the first round. Like, they just didn't fix that. And now Najee went into the season not fully healthy, you know, tweaked his ankle or foot again in week one. So, like, he's not healthy. He's running behind a bad offensive line. He's got a quarterback who's not going to keep defenses honest. And, you know, we know Mitch isn't the answer. Like, that's becoming apparent. They're going to have to – I think they're going to make a move pretty soon. I still want to believe
already
in all the
chance
pass
for Kenny already in Pittsburgh. Yep. So it's been crazy.
Yeah, but I'm okay with the pass catchers still. And I'd love to see more of this, like, run the ball to Chase Claypool thing. Like, why not, man? Why not Debo it up with Chase Claypool?
How about throw the ball to Chase Claypool? How about throw it downfield? You know, that's more my thing is, you know, Trubisky probably isn't the guy, but, like, you can't say, hey, throw 10 passes, 5 yards and go out and make it work, you know, because you got to push the ball downfield a little bit. And they just didn't take any shots. So that is concerning for me.
I don't think there's
any as a whole.
And I don't think there's anything to pick on Indy here that we've already kind of talked about that. So what about Denver on the overall? Because I've been lamenting about how bad I think Russ looks. And, you know, like I saw our boy Debro on Twitter, like, yelling at everybody, like, oh my God, we're overreacting. It's only 2 weeks. And it's like, yeah, you're right. It is only 2 weeks, but this is what we have to analyze. And Russ will probably adjust. But even outside of that, he just looks stiff and less mobile and uncomfortable. And maybe the comfort will get there and he'll make some better plays. And then we can chalk it up to, like, oh, we're all overreacting. But I don't know, man. Just Russ doesn't look like the same quarterback anymore. And that has me worried. So I don't know if I bring down any values of any other players, but the question is to you. Are you concerned about and who are you concerned about in Denver?
I'm kind of with you, Welsh. Like, I think Russ's secret weapon has always been his escapability, and I'm not sure he has that to the same degree. Like, that tight little spin he did when he had an edge rusher bearing down on him, and then all of a sudden he gets away, and he's, like, on the move to the outside, and his receivers are running deep, and cornerbacks are trying to cover these guys for more than 5 seconds, which is pretty hard to do. So, like, if he can't do that anymore, and now the weapons aren't good. We thought he was going to be loaded at receiver. No more Tim Patrick, Cortland Sutton. Who knows? I guess it's just day to day, so maybe he's not going to lose Sutton for any length.
That's Judy. Sutton's okay.
Oh, sorry. Yes, Jerry Judy. Misspoke there. Yeah, and the play calling. I mean, how did you guys feel about that?
They're awful. Andrew, the worst.
That Andrew Beck end around on third and short.
I it's too cute. You know, like, I understand that you like Andrew Beck and he put the work in and he's much better than we gave him credit for. I get it. You can't run Andrew Beck on third down. You can't do it. You got to give it to Javonte. You got to go to a short route for Cortland. Albert O, run Russell. You have to give the ball to literally any other piece of your offense.
I also Andrew think Beck. They have great weapons. I'm going to move away from Russ as a QB1, I think, moving forward until proven otherwise. This is a horrific week for him against the 49ers, who, you know, I think they're, like, number one in pass yard defense, which, of course, the first game kind of manipulates a little bit, but also, like, I think they're top three in rush yards defense. I mean, they just don't give them up. Russ has got familiarity with it, but, like, I have him outside of a QB1 this week, and unless it's an incredible matchup, I'm just not sure until I'm proven otherwise. Maybe it is too early and he's still learning everything on the adjustment. But I don't know if I tick down, like, Javonte or Melvin or even Sutton, but I am ticking down Russ Wilson. He's the one that I'm a little bit worried about.
Yeah, and maybe there is some patience warranted. It is a new play caller. It is a new quarterback. But, yeah, like, so far the early results have not been good. I think this could be an above average offense still, but I think the pie in the sky expectations we had that this was going to be one of the elite offenses, maybe out the window on that.
The Panthers and Saints, we can kind of lump them together because, you know, you're not trading Christian McCaffrey. I think Alvin Kamara, if he has a good game with this injury and the suspension stuff with him, you know, it doesn't seem like it's going to get done this year, but it's always possible. You know, they suspended Zeke in the middle of the season. So it's not like it's completely impossible for them to suspend him. But with that, maybe DJ Moore, are these guys, like, you're looking to trade after one big game? We could probably throw Michael Thomas and his two scores after week one in that group as well. Are these guys you're looking to get out from under?
Yeah, I just don't like that I can't identify. Maybe Michael Thomas will be the one consistent receiver in that offense, but like, are they going to be able to support three guys, Landry, Olave, and Thomas, throughout the season?
And Kamara.
And Kamara. And I worry about Kamara, Welsh, because like, he has not been used the same way since Drew Brees left. He's been used in this more conventional way, and it doesn't work. Like, the guy who's getting the old Alvin Kamara usage is DeAndre Swift. Like, he plays some of, you know, he splits early down work with Jamal Williams, and then he gets all that passing down work, and you get, like, the best of both work. You get 13 or 14 carries a week, and you get, like, five or six catches. And, it's the perfect workload for a guy like that. But Kamara's just getting the more conventional usage. He's not, like, a great pure runner. I mean, he's a good runner, but you know what I mean. Like, he's not a guy you want to force feed 20 to 25 carries a game. Like, you want to get that guy out in space as a pass catcher. And, like, they just don't really do that for him anymore. So, I'm worried about Kamara. Yeah, for sure.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Payment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I know how you're feeling right now.
Stop it. Don't do that.
I'm here for you.
Oh. In this league.
You are too easy.
Let me inverse the question for a minute. Is there somebody, maybe this is more to like that Debro tweet, is there somebody that you think the overreaction is just overblown right now? Could be overreacting.
Maybe you can get him at a deal now.
Yeah, I mean, you could definitely, yeah, the listeners could translate it into that. But like somebody's performance, it could be positive. I feel like it leans more negative here, but something that you think is being way too overblown after 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think I think Cam Akers is still, I hope that people didn't just like drop him after week one. And we'll talk more about him later, but like, I think he's going to be, at some point a useful asset. I'm trying to think of what else. Like, I think the Patriots backfield is going to be a little more valuable than it's been so far. Mm. The Amari Cooper, I know people were panicked after his bad week one, but I think we saw definitively in week two that he and not Donovan Peoples-Jones is going to be like the main man in this passing game. So there are a lot of little things like that. I don't know if there's anyone who's like, if there's anyone who's in the tank, like people are down on, who's had a bad start. Most fantasy managers aren't totally stupid. Like, if it's someone capable of bouncing back, like, I don't think anyone's selling for pennies on the dollar. But, the Pitts is the obvious one. Like,
yeah, see, there you go. That's a good one.
Yeah, I mean, like, the Arthur Smith quote about it not being fantasy football and wanting to win, like, when asked about the usage, was a little bit concerning.
How about regular football?
Yeah, exactly. This guy is just such a unique weapon, and you're not scheming up touches for him after you took him fourth overall in the draft. That kind of doesn't make sense.
My counter to, because we talked about this in the last episode, because I agree. I think there's going to be real panic in the streets on Kyle Pitts. I am worried, but it's not necessarily that I'm worried that Kyle Pitts isn't good or anything like that. And I'm not worried that the offense isn't going to adjust. Of course, frankly, going through my Fantasy Pros consensus ranks for the, you know, the expert contest we do, there's a part of me that's like, I kind of want to put him back up. I want to put him back up at like three. Like, I was aggressive on him last week. And what was the, let me take a look here, because I was just working on this last night. Yeah, so I mean, you've got Pitts up against Seattle. You've got him up against Seattle's defense sucks. And I put him back at three over, you know, I mean, Tennessee's defense sucks. I put him over Waller because I think this is one of those scenarios, and maybe it's a little bit more college-y, and it's like it's a get-right situation. They go out, they say those comments, and they're going to get right. But my concern isn't really about any of those things that they're going to try or his talent. Just about Marcus Mariota and the ball and getting him the ball and defensive focuses on him that, you know, can he still be good? I think he can still be good. And there's no way I'm trading or I'm getting off of it. It's just me, maybe, can I have some shares sitting back and being like, all right, I paid a high cost on him. Maybe he gets me back to tight end five. I'm just worried about that offense being able to pepper him with the targets we thought they would, because guess what? Two straight weeks, they're doing without him. They're really doing without him. They're going to Drake London. They're going with Patterson. They're going with Zacchaeus. They're going with anybody else that they can possibly think of. They'll find moments. Here's what I'm worried about. Kyle Pitts becomes Darren Waller from last year, where everyone, we were like, hey, Darren Waller's going to be amazing. He's in the same tier as these guys, and he wasn't, and he would have two or three inconsistent games. Then you have a big blow one, and then it would come back down again. I'm worried Kyle Pitts becomes aggressively inconsistent, not the guy that we thought was going to compete with Mark Andrews. So that's my concern with Kyle Pitts, but it's not applicable to like anyone doing anything bad with him. You play him. It's just, I don't know if I'm going to be hyper aggressive in trades unless it's cheap. And there's zero chance I'm trading him because of his talent.
I think you're right about not wanting to necessarily go out and buy low on him just because we have not seen him used creatively. And like, as an example, in week one, the Vikings used Justin Jefferson in ways that they were scheming him matchups against, like Preston Smith, linebackers and safeties, and like keeping him off Jaire Alexander. The Falcons aren't doing that for Kyle Pitts, and he's going up against opponents like top cornerbacks on a lot of snaps every week. And like, what? I've said this to Bob on our Dynasty show. Yeah, like put him in line, man. If anything, like put him in line, get him on a linebacker or a safety every once in a while.
The best thing for him so far, which I agree with you guys, I think they got to start moving him around. Give him a handoff. You know what I mean? Like the Chiefs done this with Kelsey. They did shovel passes and push passes and all kinds of weird stuff with Kelsey around the end zone. And even, you know, midfield, they'll occasionally do some different stuff with him. So, number one, you got to do that. I think you guys are absolutely right. But also the best thing for him is Drake London having success, because now if Drake London becomes this weapon that, you know, he was drafted for, first wide receiver taken in the draft, all that good stuff, if he actually is what the Falcons think he is, they're going to have to start rolling coverage towards him, which is going to give Pitts those one-on-one, without even being creative. It's going to give him one-on-one matchups or matchups against the second corner that he can go body up those guys and do it. So at least, you know, the Falcons beating the spread 2 weeks, they're not earning dubs, but they're playing hard. They're kind of like the Lions from last season.
Mariota's just still his quarterback, though, and that's my problem. Look, we talk about all these cool things that they should do. Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, we talk about all these cool things they should do. Their play calling is not like the Chiefs and not like these teams, and the quarterback is Marcus Mariota. I mean, it's great. I think that we are overblowing it, and I think, Pat, you brought the perfect guy. I think you brought up the perfect guy of, like, the overblown fear is too much, but there still is some that like exist in there, and we have to talk about it. And hopefully we will see differently. And I'm kind of betting on it this week, cause I think it's going to be a get right game to get him going, even after those stupid, like, it's not fantasy. It's like, all right, buddy, well, it's still a game. It doesn't matter what it is.
Like, Arthur Smith hates the media.
Yeah, so we don't like him either. Let's talk about our ranks. It's week three ranks, and we've got a nice little game we're going to play. And Pat, you get to go first. We're going to go through some quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers. We're going to be in the sleeper range. We're going to be talking about surprises positionally. And you will be very comfortable with this, Pat. We tend to kind of look at the Fantasy Pros consensus ranks to kind of tell us where someone is, even if it's different than ours. But the first one up, you get to go first. Your surprise quarterback won for week three. So a player that, again, the quarterbacks I'm always, we're pretty lenient with on how this goes because, you know, it's quarterbacks, but a guy that is probably maybe not a typical QB1 that you think can push in and be a surprise QB1 for this week.
How about Jared Goff? So he's got a good offensive line. He's got high-quality pass catchers with Amon-Ra St. Brown, who now looks like a top 10 receiver. He looks like he's ready to join the Stephon Diggs, Justin Jefferson class. Hawkinson, Chark, DeAndre Swift. He's got weapons galore. And I was just on DraftKings looking at odds for week three, and Lions-Vikings has a total of 53.5 points. That is tied with Bills-Dolphins for the highest total on the board this week. So they're expecting fireworks in this game. And, Detroit is a pretty good formula for a quarterback to score points because the offense is good. It's a good infrastructure. Like, every unit on the offense is good. And their defense is really bad. I mean, they're going to get scored on a lot. So I could see this game being a track meet. I think so far, 5 touchdown passes for Goff, unless I'm mistaken. So hasn't really piled up the yardage yet. But I think he's kind of a sneaky start.
I think this is a good one.
Stole that one, by the way. I was going to have Jared Goff. That was my first on the sheet. And then I was like, I'll just pivot to Welsh's guy. And then I saw Welsh had him. So I'm on my third pivot for my QB.
You're on your third pivot. Excellent.
Go ahead, Welsh.
Well, I'm going to actually go his performance last week isn't going to surprise you, but the matchup might be a little bit surprising. And for this week, I'm going to go with Tua. And I know I don't want to play off of last week and be like, oh, but you know what? Tua looks great. And he's got two of the best weapons in the game. I mean, you want to talk about better dynamic duo of wide receivers. Higgins, Chase, Thielen, Jefferson. Am I forgetting another duo that I'm disrespecting right now? I mean, you can put those together. Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle looks like the best for a guy that is built around being, you know, an accurate passer, not a dynamic passer. And you got two guys that are, one is a high possession receiver and one is one of the game's biggest playmakers. The problem with the matchup is it's against Buffalo. Buffalo's given up the second least amount of passing yards in the NFL. But I also think that's a mirage. I think Tennessee actually looked good to start the game and they completely fell apart. That secondary is beatable in Buffalo. And if you have a half decent line, you can get going. And the Rams were an anomaly of a joke in the first week. So I look at that and I don't go like, all right, well, this is one of the best pass defenses in the NFL. I think they're a little bit more exploitable. And the Dolphins are a team that are going to be able to exploit even more. They got pass catchers out of the backfield. They got Gesicki back going. They're going to stretch the field. And Tua is ready to go. They're not going to beat the Bills on the ground. And if they're playing from behind, they're going to be passing even more. So I'm going to push Tua up into a QB1, a surprise QB1 for the week. It's not surprise based off of what he did last week, that it's going to be a surprise when you think about the guys that you can play him over. So that's my guy, Boggs. Who do you got?
I'm gonna agree with you on Tua because I do like him, and like Pat said, second highest over, and something really clicked with the Dolphins in the second half, needing to come back, and Tua needing to make all of these throws. And it's funny,
I got Tua over Russ Wilson this week, by the way. Dude, if you want,
I mean, that's easy.
I don't know if that's an easy. Yeah, if that is an easy, then yeah.
They're playing the Niners, and they've looked like crap. So I'm for sure with you on that one. But like, someone took the throw to Tyreek Hill and reverse the image so that Tua looked like a righty, and it looks like one of the best throws you've ever seen in your life.
I saw that.
I don't know
actually,
why
it does.
Seeing
I know.
A guy throw lefty looks weird, but it just always looks so foreign, which
I
is
saw
why
that
most
video.
People
That's
are down
a good
on
video.
It. But I'll say this about Buffalo. Like, they made Matt Stafford look like a JV QB trying to play an NFL game week one, and they might have ruined Ryan Tannehill's career in week two.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks.
Hi guys, here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil. Next, I take an ice bath. Ooh, feeling super healthy.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com, Cygnos.com, with code SPARK, Signos.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N, Rakuten.com.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
And more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in this league.
I love you.
Ready?
So, like, if they get to Tua and bury him this week, we might just have to say, hey, look, Buffalo's defense is going to crush.
Totally agree. I mean, they were a defense that could have been had in the first quarter.
I think
they really
so too.
Found themselves. But also, Ryan Tannehill threw horrific passes that led to all those picks.
He was awful. Yeah.
I want to point out to your comment on the week three ranks. Russell, this according to Fantasy Pros consensus rank. Let me see if I'm on the right thing. Week three rankings. I feel like I'm not. Yeah, here we go. So the week three ranks, Russ Wilson is the 11th quarterback and Tua is the 15th quarterback. So based on, I told you, I have Tua above Russ Wilson. The consensus rankers don't agree, but that's where I've got it.
Fitzy, are most of our rankers not watching these games? Russ has got to move down. I haven't submitted mine. So when I submit mine, he will absolutely move down too. But I don't know. That's not looking good. Look, y'all stole mine, so I had to reach down to my third guy here, and I don't have him ranked as a QB1, but I could see it. Another guy a lot like Tua that's going to be playing point for point. Trevor Lawrence looked great against Indy last week. Indy's defense is not something to be trifled with. Specifically, the secondary is pretty solid. I think Trevor Lawrence – just made him look silly last week. He was 25 of 30. He led in like EPA and completion over estimated and all of the advanced stats that you look at. Trevor Lawrence was crushing last week. And whatever him and Kirk have, we like it. It's working. You know, they gave Kirk way too much money. We thought maybe he's just better without Kyler. I don't know. But he has looked outstanding the first couple weeks. But I also expect, you know, this game script could change if Justin Herbert is not ready to go. But if Herbert's out there, I expect him to be slinging it like he always does in this game to go point for point. So give me Tua as my third favorite surprise QB1 of the week behind the
Trevor
two
Lawrence
guys you
mean.
Guys picked. Yeah, Trevor Lawrence.
So all right. So sleeper quarterback for week three, guy that we're not claiming QB1. But you think there's some sleeper ability in there, someone you might try to get in. You feel comfortable about in Superflex. Maybe you're a deeper league and you need to get these guys going.
You see my smirk, Welsh? Who else? This might be a copyrighted.
I don't disagree with this.
This might be a copyrighted smirk here. But Jimmy G, I think, has to be in this. You know, I expect the Niners to play a good game against Denver this week. And I know it's on the road and everything, but you just go right back to what you were doing last season with Jimmy G. Not a whole lot needs to change. This isn't like, hey, a quarterback that we've never seen comes in. He's started the last three seasons for the Niners. So I'm excited about him being back on the field and what this can do, particularly to Debo and Ayuk and the offense as a whole for the Niners, because it just wasn't clicking right with Trevor Lawrence quite yet. So I think Jimmy G, you know, the offense really – is the thing that helps this for the Denver offense, really helps this thing for Jimmy being inefficient. A lot of three and outs, a lot of punts, Russell Wilson looking a little frazzled and uncomfortable was a good word that Welsh used before to describe him. So For me, I'm going to go Jimmy G against Denver. That offensive line is too good. They will keep him upright. And if Bradley Chubb doesn't get to him, nobody's getting to him. So I got Jimmy G this week.
My sleeper quarterback, I'm going to go with a guy actually was being a little critical about, Marcus Mariota. Give me Marcus Mariota this week. Seattle's defense is putrid. I have a kind of get right spot for Kyle Pitts. They're not afraid to pass the ball. Seattle so far giving up. They're in the bottom 10 as far as passing yards given up per game. Marcus Mariota also stretches the field a little bit with his feet. I don't think they're going to be trying to pound the ground game against Seattle with their ground game. I mean, we could see Patterson more. We saw a little bit more Algier, but I think it's going to be getting Pitts right. London should do well. Marcus Mariota is a threat on the ground, even if you're getting some rushing upside. It's just a great matchup. So he's my sleeper quarterback for week 3. Pat, who do you got as a sleeper quarterback?
How about the elite Joe Flacco? I mean, who could have imagined that this guy was going to be a fantasy facilitator? Like, the Jets have 6 fantasy viable guys at running back, wide receiver, and tight end. Like, not necessarily must start, but guys that you would not get laughed at if you had them in a starting lineup. 3 receivers with Garrett Wilson, who's like a star all of a sudden, Elijah Moore, Corey Davis, Tyler Conklin at tight end, and then Breece Hall and Michael Carter. And, like, he's making it all work. He's thrown 103 passes in 2 games and has 5 touchdowns and a pair of 300-yard games. And like, what if this turns into a shootout with the Bengals? You know, like, there's some interesting potential here, and it's bizarre to be touting Joe Flacco in the year of our Lord 2022, but here we are.
That's a good one. I like that one. I actually have a Jet coming up here in a little bit. So
he's elite.
I'm not against that one. He is. Maybe we can still debate that. All right. So we're snaking over to running backs. And we are going to kick off with our surprise RB1 of the week. So same kind of theory here. A guy that's usually not in the RB1 territory necessarily, and a guy that you think that will be or has the very, very high potential to put up RB1. And Pat, you get to go first here.
I guess I'll go with Jeff Wilson. And maybe that's not too crazy, but I know that guy's always the subject of a zillion start-sit questions that I get every Sunday. And now that Tyrion Davis-Price has a high ankle sprain, I think you err on the side of start for Wilson for sure. Like, he had 20 touches and 103 yards from scrimmage last week. And now no Tyrion Davis-Price. Maybe they get Jordan Mason involved in the offense, or maybe they promote Marlon Mack from the practice
squad.
They'll
definitely promote Mack. You can guarantee that.
You would think so. But maybe we just get a really healthy dose of Jeff Wilson and some Kyle Juszczyk like this week. And, you know, I know the matchup isn't necessarily a great one on the road against Denver, but, you know, volume conquers all, and this guy had 20 touches last week.
I love this one because Jeffrey Wilson got a bulk of those carries. They still gave 14 to Price. He's gone. Debo, if I can find a rushing prop that puts Debo at 3.5 or even 4.5, I'm going to take the over because he will get more carries this week with Price going out. You might get a little bit of Mack, but there's no way they're going to put a guy like Mack in and they're going to give him Davis Price carries. So Jeffrey Wilson is a great one. And Denver's has just played so bad in general. If the Niners are up, they're going to pound the run game. And that's a big call because Wilson is 25 on Fantasy Pros consensus rank. So potential QB1 definitely on the table and a good one. Mine's a little bit outside the the RB1 range, but I've been very critical of him for 2 weeks, but they continue to just give him the ball. And Khalil Herbert just doesn't look like he's going to get any bulk anytime soon. It's David Montgomery. David Montgomery is in the teens, I think 15 or 16 on half PPR ranks. But this week, it's such a phenomenal matchup. With Houston. Houston's given up the 3rd most rushing yards in the NFL through 2 games right now. Bears have got to get going. This is an opportunity for them to sling the ball a little bit more, but I just don't think that they're going to be able to get it deep, which opens up more opportunities for catches for David Montgomery. They're going to run the ball with him in the red zone because, you know, I mean, Justin Fields is barely, I don't even think he's thrown 25 passes so far this season. So I don't think when you get into like, you know, any type of red zone, anything, you're going to have him starting to throw the ball a whole bunch. So I really like David Montgomery this week because, you know, in that gross Niner game, they were giving him, I think, 17 carries. He got more in the last week. I think he's going to get 20 plus. I think he's going to score, even though the Bears have been putrid. I like David Montgomery. I think he's going to be a sneaky sleeper RB1 this week. Boggs, who do you have for your surprise RB1?
It's a big adjustment, too, because I have a lot of Khalil Herbert shares, Welsh, because he was cheap. And I love David Montgomery, but everything we heard from the preseason was, you know, Herbert, 50%, Montgomery's on special teams, blah, 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 blah. And then all they do is give him the ball. And like Pat said, what is it? What do you say, Pat? 28 dropbacks for the Bears so far on the season. That's pathetic, Phil, dude. Like, seriously, just get Air Force in there and start running the triple option. I'm going to go to Josh Jacobs at Tennessee. We've seen Tennessee look god-awful their first 2 weeks, and it doesn't really matter what you do. If you want to pass the ball like Josh Allen did a million times and all to Stephon Diggs, he can score 3 touchdowns. If you want to give the ball to Saquon Barkley and let him score a 2-point conversion, they'll let you do that, too. This defense looks lost. I mean, Harold Landry was a huge loss for them right before the season started. I know Dud Dupree ain't going to get it done by himself over there. So they're just giving up yards. The offense looks putrid. Nothing looks good. And, you know, we were worried about Josh Jacobs coming into the season because it was a lot like the David Montgomery scenario in Chicago, where it was all we hear is Zamir White. They're not picking up Josh Jacobs' fifth-year option. They made him play in the Hall of Fame game. Like, all of this stuff were huge knocks. And week one, he only had 11 touches. So we were kind of worried. But last week, he was back up to 20. And I think, you know, they don't have a win yet this year. The Raiders are desperate for a win. So if they do get a lead on Tennessee, they're going to sit on it. And I think they will get a lead on Tennessee. And I think Josh Jacobs sees a ton of touches in the second half because he has proven to be the most successful running back in the system. And I think he gets a ton of touches this week. So I'm going to go with Josh Jacobs at Tennessee.
All right, snaking around, surprise RB2 for the week. Bogman, you get to pick it up. So, guy jumping into the RB2 territory.
Travis Etienne at the Chargers. We talked about this right before the Monday night stream, Welsh, where we were kind of just talking about who you would rather have between Etienne and James Robinson this week. And Robinson has been getting goal line carries. He looks fantastic. My real answer is both. But I think Jacksonville is going to be down in this game, which is why I like Trevor Lawrence as that sleeper. And I just think that they are going to be playing from behind. Like I said, talking about Trevor Lawrence. And I think that means Etienne is on the field more for more touches this week. So give me Etienne as my surprise RB2. Because he's ranked down like 38 or something when I looked yesterday. He should be higher than that now, but he was pretty low yesterday.
34. He's 34 and a half PPR in Fantasy Pros. So that's a good one. Mine is in the same general range. And I'm going to stick into that same game I talked about. I'm going to go with Dameon Pierce. They wanted to get Dameon Pierce more involved. They got Dameon Pierce more involved. And this is a low-scoring game, which I think also is going to put a lot more on the ground. I don't see either team running away with this, which is going to allow Dameon Pierce to be more involved. Rex Burkhead completely disappeared. That commitment makes me feel really good. Bears, not good. The worst team against the run in the NFL this year, giving up the most yards, 189 on average, with the last one giving up over 200. Yeah. Give me Dameon Pierce. He's in the 30s for the consensus rankers. He's an RB2 for me this week. I got Pierce. Pat, who do you got as your surprise RB2?
I brought him up before, Cam Akers. We thought he was pretty much buried in week one against the Bills when he barely played. But last week, it was more of a 50-50. I think it was a 56 to 44 percentile split on snaps with Daryl Henderson. But Akers out-carried him 15-10 and out-targeted him 3-0. They're playing the Cardinals, who've given up the fourth most fantasy points to opposing running backs so far this season and just have a bad overall defense. And with the Rams, a 3.5-point road favorite, you figure it'll probably be a run-friendly game script. So, you know, I like Akers as kind of a sneaky flex-type start this week.
I like it. Snaking back around to the final RB1, sleeper RB for week 3. So this is... You know, guy, you probably haven't been putting in even your flex at this point, but this week it's go time. Who do you got, Pat?
How about Tyler Allgeier? He got 10 carries last week after being inactive in week 1 just because he didn't play special teams. But, you know, now Damian Williams is hurt. I actually like the way the Falcons offensive line has played so far. They look like a decent unit. And
statements we never thought we'd hear said.
Exactly. And they get a pretty good matchup against Seattle this week. So I think Allgeier might be viable.
I am going to go with the guy that we talked about in the last episode, Boggs. I'm going to go with Eno Benjamin. Eno Benjamin, who got 8 carries last week. There's a question on James Conner. Even if there's not any crazy, crazy thing with Conner and he plays, I still think Eno Benjamin can get involved in this offense. So I like the matchup, even, you know, it's, I know it's the Rams, but I still like the matchup as far as Eno Benjamin being able to be more of the spacing outside back, which I don't think Darrell Williams or Connor necessarily are. I think they're going to get him involved. And if the Cards are playing from behind, that's going to be a space where Eno Benjamin will actually benefit a little bit more. And it'll be even more if Connor is out.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, fellas, here's how it works. $15 for it.
In this league.
What's this?
In this league.
If you have to ask, big man, you can't afford it.
I love that Benjamin won, Welch. Just want to touch on that real quick because, you know, like, even if Connor is healthy, like you said, they got to realize week two, already an ankle thing for him. Maybe we need to ratchet him back a little bit. And Eno is the straight backup. So if Connor is out, they'll go 50-50. But Eno is the straight backup with Connor on the field. My last one, look, we saw it last week with game script. When Miami got down, Raheem Mostert was on the field in passing situations to protect the quarterback, which gave him more routes run and more snaps than Chase Edmonds. And I think we're going to see that a lot against Buffalo this week. So give me Raheem Mostert for that reason. I think game script gets him on the field way more than usual.
I like it. All right, now to the wide receivers. So same script as the running backs. Surprise wide receiver one who jumps in this week. Who do you got, Boggs?
I'm going to go with T. Higgins at the New York Jets. Look, they got to quit getting Joe Burrow hit, which means you got to do quick passes. You can't wait for Jamar Chase to come open down the field every single play. You need quick hitters. T. Higgins can be that guy. He's a big-bodied wide receiver. He can body up a corner. He can run past the linebacker. You got to get quicker plays to T. Higgins. He was coming off the concussion last week, a little bit limited. He should be more than good to go this week. So give me T. Higgins at the Jets.
I didn't even realize this. Apparently, I really like this Bears and Texans game because I got another one here. But, you know, in looking at a guy that can jump up, I went with Brandon Cooks this week. And, you know, I know that offense in general has been a little bit in question. There was definitely a big question as far as Brandon Cooks goes coming into this past week. But the Bears, as far as their passing defense go, is shrouded in that Niner game, which doesn't really count why some of the numbers are lower. They're not great. And Brandon Cooks has got a top 15 matchup, at least according to the wide receiver cornerback matchups on PFF. And I think they are going to be getting him the ball as well. If you can establish the run game with Damian Pierce, you're going to be able to do some play action. I like Cooks for a big long play this week. So I'm going to go surprise a wide receiver one, Brandon Cooks. Who do you got, Pat?
How about Garrett Wilson?
You're just jumping right into wide receiver one.
I've got him ranked ahead of Elijah Moore this week. Like, he's playing fewer snaps, but he's drawing so many more targets right now. And there's a reason for it. This dude is getting open. Like, he is a special route runner. Like, I'm